Well, I there are probably lessons that can refer to that. I really think that it's dealing here with the physical fall of the Roman Empire at this point, but it probably has other applications as well. Verse 7, let's look at this. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel, John?" John said, "I marvel with great amazement." The angel said, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns." Another reference to that, to reemphasize the fact of who this beast is. This is the beast that we saw back in chapter 13, the sea beast, which is the Roman Empire. And the woman from verse 18 represents who? The city of Rome. So the angel says, "I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast, the city of Rome and the Roman Empire." Now verse 8 here begins some of the... Betty will appreciate this because I read where Dan said that verse 8 through 11, Dan Winkler here referred to this as the hardest scripture in the Bible, the hardest section of scripture in the Bible. And I think you'll agree when we read it, but we're going to look at some things when we come back to this. But for right now, I want to emphasize something as we begin reading verse 8. The book of Revelation is a book of contrasts. Like we're looking at this woman here in chapter 17, and she's very much contrasted with the woman from chapter 12 that represents God's people, everything that's good. Here we've got the great harlot that represents everything that's evil and bad. So we got a contrast going on. Let's read verse 8 here, and then I want to make another point or two with that. Okay, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." All right, we're going to come back now and look at some of the more difficult parts of this. But for right now, I just want to point out this. Again, the contrast that you see. "Those who dwell on the earth will marvel. Those who dwell on the earth whose names are not written in the book of life." Now, that's contrasted with the many references we've had in Revelation of those who are written in the book of life. A very big contrast here. You got two groups. There's no middle ground. You got two groups, those whose names are not written in the book of life, and then you got the 144,000. You got the saints. You got the sealed, if you will. The saints sealed in the forehead. Over here, we've got those who had the mark of the beast. So you got that contrast going on. And another thing here is in verse 8, we talk about the beast who was and is not and yet is. Well, you might want to contrast that back to chapter 1, verse 4, when it said of Christ, "He is and was and he is to come." So we got some contrast there. Christ is, was, and is to come. The beast was, is not, and yet is. We'll talk about that more, I promise you, when we come back and look at this when we finish the chapter. Okay, verse 9. "Now here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman..." Now who's the woman? City of Rome. "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." How many of you in here have ever been to the city of Rome? I know I've got some in here that have, surely. All right, well, Billy, I know, and Steve, and perhaps others here might can identify with this. The city of Rome is built on seven mountains. Now, we're told here in verse 9 that the seven heads are seven mountains. And here are the seven mountains that the city of Rome is built on. And y'all that's been there, if you've got some comments that might add to our class here, Palatine and Capitoline and so forth. I won't butcher the pronunciation of the others, but the city here are seven mountains that the city of Rome is on, and so that kind of makes verse 9 make perfect sense here. And then verse 10 and 11. Now, here are the ones that some have said is the hardest verses in the Bible. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. So that will be very interesting here when we look at, you're probably like me if you read that without doing some study and what others, it's a lot more learned than I am, have thought this means. I have no way of even guessing what it means. But I'm going to give you, when we come back to this, I'm going to give you two or three of the conservative ideas about what 10 and 11 here means. So let's just leave that for now and we'll come back to it. Okay, down to verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beasts. Okay. These 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. There again, we have some self-defining in the scriptures here. They're 10 kings. And these kings have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority as kings with the beast. Now, who does the beast represent? What does the beast represent? The Roman Empire. The woman represents the city of Rome. The beast represents the Roman Empire. So what do we read here into this? These 10 horns are 10 kings who have no kingdom of their own as yet, but they have authority that is derived from the Roman Empire. Now they've got this authority here, and this authority is going to last for 1 hour. Now what do you suppose that means? For a short time. That's all that means. Not a literal interpretation by no means here, but 1 hour just simply means they're going to have these 10 kings who are really allied with Rome. That's what it is. These the Roman Empire here have got these 10 kings that are allied. They're alliance. They have an alliance with Rome here, and that's only going to last for a very short time. I want to see. We'll wait till we get down to 16 before I make that comment. All right, so there we go with 12. Now, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. The 10 kings here that have an alliance with the Roman Empire is of one mind. That all that means is that they're just working toward a common cause. And the common cause of the beast, the Roman Empire, is persecution of the truth in the church. So all of these kings here who are aligned with Rome are just helping them in their quest. And then that brings us down to verse 14. And verse 14 is, if you were with us from the beginning of our study, you already have this verse marked. It's one of the more important verses of the entire book. It's the theme of the book, if you will. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now let's go back and look at it. These will make war with the Lamb. These. Who is the these? Who's the these? All these that we've been talking about. Those 10 kings, the beast, the Roman Empire, the woman who's the city of Rome. All of these folks that we've been talking about here that represent, remember I told you the contrast, that represents all that's evil over here. It says these will make war with the Lamb. There's that contrast. Evil is warring against everything good. Now going back to Bill's comment earlier, could this represent other things? Well, certainly. This has eternal applications, or at least it has applications for us today, good and evil. That's the battle that's going on. It says these, evil, will make war with the Lamb. But the outcome's already been decided. the lamb will nikal. Remember that word? Where we get our word Nike?
Victory.
Victory. Conquer. It says, the lamb will overcome them. There's going to be a battle of good and evil as long as we're on this side of time. As long as we're on this side of judgment, there will be a battle between good and evil. But this tells us that there's going to come a time when the final battle, the final victory will occur. It says, the Lamb will overcome them. And in the case of the Roman Empire here and the woman, the city of Rome here, that time was in the future. It was coming. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Four. Now, this is a direct something to Domitian, in my opinion. Because remember Domitian sitting up here on the throne of Rome, the greatest country, the greatest nation of all time, the world power, everybody in the world bowing down to him. He says, I'm Lord God Caesar here, but the Lamb's going to overcome them. Why? Because he's Lord of Lords. Domitian, you can say what you want to say. You can think what you want to think. But we serve a God. The Lamb will overcome because he's Lord of Lords. And he's King of Kings. Amen and praise the Lord for that. That's good. Now, we've had several descriptions of God's people here, and we have three more at the end of this one. I've got these marked. You may want to mark them and run just two or three cross references here. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says that we're called by the gospel. And lots of other references there of how we're called, but we're called by the gospel. Chosen. Ephesians 1:4 says he chose us before the foundations of the world. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter refers to us as a what kind of generation? You are a chosen people, a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9. And then, lastly, faithful. I've got listed there as a cross reference here, Revelation 2:10, where it says, simply be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. So verse 14 here is one of the highlights of the book. Indeed, it's the theme of the book, and I know you already have that marked. Okay, verse 15. We've already looked at this here where the waters were defined. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now let's think about this. These 10 kings out there that have allied with Rome, they've allied with Rome. That doesn't necessarily mean that they really like Rome. Sometimes alliances are made for fear, for reasons other than, I agree with what you're doing and I'm going to jump in line here. And that's the case with this. It says these 10 horns which you saw, actually, in reality, they hate the harlot, the city of Rome. City of Rome is ruling everything with an iron fist. And so you can see that there would be some kings that would serve the Roman Empire, bow down to the Roman Empire, but do it very grudgingly and very resentful. I'm doing this because it's in my best interest, in other words. Now, there's an interesting thing here. I was working on chapter 18 here this past week, and I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. Look over in chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. Now, chapter 18 is actually where we have the fall of the Roman Empire. This is when it actually goes down. And verse 9 and 10 here refers back to these kings that we're talking about in verse 16 of our present study. It says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? They might weep and lament for her, but they do it from afar. I don't want to get caught up in it. You're going down, but you take the fall by yourself. I'm gonna keep my distance here. Very interesting what the way that these kings that have allied with Rome. See, they may have allied with her because of economic reasons, financial reasons. There would be many reasons, fear. There'd be many reasons why they would be allied with Rome, but that alliance, they're going to cut that alliance there when they see Rome actually falling. Well, what do you think they would be weeping for then? I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves over in chapter 18, but they're weeping and lamenting for her. Why do you think they would do that?
Economics.
Because of their economic loss. Their economic loss. We'll talk about that when we get into chapter 18. But when Rome falls and crumbles and goes down, the people who's had economic dealings with her, they're going to take a loss as well. So they're not weeping for Rome falling, I don't think. They're reaping for their own, weeping, that is, for their own loss. Okay, so let's finish up chapter 17 here. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose. Does God use evil men? Does God use evil men to accomplish his purposes? Absolutely. Absolutely. Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, absolutely. All through Scripture we see that. And we see that here when he says God put it into their hearts. They're acting because of God's purpose. He put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdoms to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay, comments?
You remember Jesus told about
exactly. And that's modern day applications to that, you know, as well. And you know, there may be government officials and there may be others that are not New Testament Christians, but that doesn't mean God's not going to use them to bring about his will and hopefully to bring about what's in the best interest for us as faithful Christians. Let me see where we are here. There's verse 14. I missed that. Okay. Now let's go back here. If you've got no other questions, I'll go back and at least get us started. At least get us started here in verses 8 through 11. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Verse 10. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short while. And the beast that was and is not is also of himself the eighth one, which is of the seven, and is going to perdition. Now I want to tell you before I get started with this, I hadn't found anybody reading or studying. I hadn't found anybody that says unequivocally this is what that is. There's some people that have made some good cases, but even at the end of that, what they say is, I don't know. And so I've told you all along through Revelation, there are a lot of things that I can't answer, a lot of things that I don't know. And that's probably, this one is at the top of that list here. I don't know. It's confusing at the very least. And I referenced Dan a while ago in the Winkler series studies. He wrote the one on Revelation, and he said, I'm going to give you four possibilities, basically. He says, here's one possibility, here's another possibility, here's another possibility, and the fourth one is, we don't know. And the best thing we can do is just leave it alone. Some things we just can't answer, just nail it down that we know that we know that we know, as Joe Williams used to say. And this is going to be one of those situations. But it's interesting, nonetheless, to see what could this possibly have meant. So I'm going to present these. If I've got time, I really don't. I've got about 2 minutes to go today, and I really don't, I can't even begin to get into these. But the first one I'm going to present to you, though, Wayne Jackson and Homer Haley falls into that camp. The second one will take us quite a while to develop it. Alan Hires is more in that camp. And then the third view here is one that that some hold to, and I don't know. I'm going to give you three different ones, and they're interesting. It's an interesting study. I'm going to just hope that if you're here today that you'll come back and be with us. But who can be represented by those five kings who have fallen, and the one who is, and the other one who has not yet come? Any comments? Because I'm gonna stop it there. I don't have time to really develop that. Any of those, it's gonna take some time for us to get into that. Well, okay. Well, thank you for being here. Consider yourself dismissed, and the bell should be ringing shortly.